I am inspired this morning. Who wouldn't be now? After the service we've had already. But I'm inspired with some of God's Word to share with you. I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 10. In the book of Romans, he's been explaining the condition of sin and the remedy that God has made for it. And it wasn't from the law, although the law helped us to understand just how sinful that we are and needed a Savior. But in Romans 10, he begins to show us how we ignorantly so hard try to establish our own righteousness. And not only these people back here, but I find this applies to us today, that so many times it just seems so hard, and we make it hard. And here's one of the things that we do, Romans 10 and verse 6, he said, "The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above." And you know, we just make it that hard for ourselves many times. It's like that there's got to be something nearly impossible for us to do in order to have the favor of the Lord in our lives. And we look at it like that sometimes, and we pray at it like that sometimes. And as children growing up in homes where we're instructed on do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that, it's easy to grow up with this mentality that it's just nearly impossible. And that's what I think the picture that he's given is. Don't say, how am I supposed to get Christ down here into my life? That's what he's saying here. Don't say that. The righteousness that comes from God by faith and dependence and trust in Him says to us today, don't say it like that. How am I going to? Let's see. Could we erect some kind of a system? Or could we get enough electronic data to project ourselves up to go get Him and bring Him down? I mean, this is kind of how we kind of do so many times is, figure out how I am going to be righteous before God. So he said, don't say that. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. The obvious is here. It's stated in what he's not saying here. Christ has already risen from the dead. He's already done the work for us. So our righteousness comes from trusting in and depending on the work that Christ has done for us, and simply receiving that and leaning on that from day to day in our lives. And then he goes on and he explains how to come to Christ and how it is. He said, the word is nigh thee. And he's quoting from Deuteronomy here, where it says that the word is easy. Did you ever... Let's look at that just for a minute. I really don't want to stay there a long time. But he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 30. And he said, don't say that the word is too hard or it's too far away from me, which is what we sometimes do. There are many souls today that have gotten so discouraged that they have actually given up. And the next step for them is atheism, because they feel like that if what I've been taught isn't true, then what is true? There is nothing true. And so if God, if He can't be pleased in this way and I can't reach Him in this way, there is no other way. So there must not be a God. This is right what happens to precious souls, young people. And I want to encourage you today to look at the heart of God. And that's what our message is going to be, is we're going to look at the giving, abundant giving and the unselfish heart of God today. In chapter 30 of Deuteronomy is what he said, this commandment in verse 11, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. And the Revised Version in my margin says, it's not too hard for thee. And I really love this. That here, way back over here in the Old Testament, he's telling them that. And actually, at that time, the law was a burden for them. And by the time you got to the days of Christ, where the Pharisees have tacked on all these little things onto the law, it was impossibility for those people to feel like that they appeased God that they turned away the wrath of God from them. They couldn't feel the nearness of God. He was not a heavenly Father to them. And here comes Jesus immediately introducing the words "Our Father" and a close relationship, and how He can be to people as He what Jesus showed us the relationship between Him and His Father, and pointed us to that same relationship, how it's possible through Him to have that nearness to the Father. He's saying here, it's not too hard for thee. Go back to Romans because I'm not through there. But this is what is quoted in chapter 10 of Romans is Deuteronomy 30. And I love how he just brings it right down here to us. He says, "For with the heart," in verse 10 of Romans 10, "with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." And that's my scripture today. I want to speak today of the riches of his grace that he has poured out, not only in salvation, but in the giving of a spirit, in the healing of the body, in grace for every day, and in fellowship with each other. Wonderful riches of grace, a great store, unending. More where that came from. All the time there is a wonderful, great store of grace toward you and me that He wants us to constantly tap into, to constantly be in touch with. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Did you ever have that awareness when you have a need and you just say, "Lord, help me"? Have you ever just stopped and thought about what happens when you do that? What's there for your help? Just little drop? I mean, we know that it's powerful enough to where one drop of His, one touch is just enough for us. But just think, He is a God that is full of, yes, of help and mercy and grace and healing and forgiveness and deliverance and power.
Yes.
And it is for us to have when we call on Him.
Yes.
When you call on the Lord, "Lord, help," even that, just that calling on Him, "Lord Jesus, help me right now." You're having a temptation. Don't disbelieve right there where I'm going to call Him, but nothing's going to happen. I'm just going to fall into this temptation. When you call on the Lord, He's rich unto you.
Yes.
That means He has so much for you and so much help for you and so much grace. Let's just start here with Colossians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 1. Both of those I want to just look at just a little bit. Ephesians 1, look at that one. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." He goes on down, talks about choosing us and adopting us, making us accepted. Wonderful, wonderful verses there in 4 and 5 and 6. And then in 7 he says, "In whom we have redemption, full ransom." And it not only is a ransom for sin, but riddance of sin. That's what this word means. Redemption means, it means to get rid of the one who had enslaved you and brought you and sold you into bondage. Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The forgiveness, that, just think about what it meant. Now, there's a picture given us in the building that He told His people to build, the temple and the tabernacle in the wilderness. There's a picture of forgiveness in those very components of the building. And what it was He had them to build an ark or a box, an oblong box. And in it, there were things that they were to put there as treasures, as emblems and tokens. Inside of it was the law. Inside that ark was the law. And you know what they had done with the law. First thing, broke it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that righteous anger that Moses had for them breaking, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me," and all the other
things that they broke at that time. And they broke all those laws so many times. But he threw down the tables of stone that he had at that time and just busted them into pieces, and then they ground them into powder. That's really a token or a symbol of how mankind has done with God's laws. Just ground them underfoot and broken them and bashed them and despised them and cast them behind their backs. We as people have. And then he had him to make another set, and he engraved them again with his finger, and then they put them into safekeeping in this ark. And that ark was in the sacred holy place, the holiest place. It was dark. There was no light except for the light in the presence of God, which was unapproachable. But what I'm getting to is when they put him in this ark, a symbol of God's law, and that law had been so broken by man. Over that, he had a solid board that completely covered the top of that box that held God's broken law. And that board was overlaid with gold, and it was called what? The mercy seat. And he said, there, I'll meet with you. And that mercy seat was big enough to cover every bit of that box that held God's broken laws. And that the symbol of that is that God's mercy and his willingness to meet with us and commune with us through the shed blood of Christ. That mercy seat was big enough, and it was more than big enough. It was ample. It was plenty to cover the broken laws. And that's a picture to us all of God's willingness to forgive. I was reading in Hannah Whittle Smith has an illustration that she had a little child come to her and get up on her lap and say, Mommy, when I do something bad that is not right with God, and I come to God, how long does it take him to forgive me? And her mama said, well, what do you think? And she said, well, I think that he ought to make me feel bad for a while, and that he shouldn't forgive me just right at once. And she said, you really? And I'm paraphrasing. I just read this last night, but my memory's just kind of, anyway. But I know the thought, what she was saying. The little child was just convinced that God will not forgive me right away, that he ought to make me feel bad for a while, and he ought not to be nice to me for a while. And Hannah said, no, I really believe that when you do something that you shouldn't do, that you need to come right to Jesus, and he will forgive you right away. And the child said, no. And she got a little stuck-out lip about it. And she said, no, I know that's not. I know that he makes you feel bad for a while. And Hannah said, I'm just going to get you his word. I'm just going to read you what his word says. And so she got the word of God. She read over here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, where he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And she got those and other ones, probably the one that I just read you. He's rich unto all who call upon him. And after a while, a little, she said, now, what you've been thinking is what you think, but this is God's word. Yes. What do you think now with God's word telling you? And she said, oh, I think he will forgive me. Dear Jesus, I am sorry for all my naughties, and please forgive me now. And then, and she took it and believed it and jumped off her mama's lap and went on her way. And that's always been a blessing to me. Not that I think that he leaves us in the condition of constantly in sin and having to ask that kind of forgiveness. No, and there's something more in the grace of God that we're going to get to that covers that. But with children, for those of us who have children, I hope that we do manifest the mercy and the grace of God in just that way for them, so that they can have a model in our lives that the heart of God is like that for them. He is rich unto all that call upon him. His forgiveness and his mercy is ample. It covers the any brokenness, any of the broken laws that we have in our life, He is there to forgive us. As He said in His Word, He is faithful and He's just to forgive us and to give us those riches of grace of forgiveness. Another scripture that needs, that I'm sure she must have said at that time, is Isaiah 55. I love this word in this verse. Isaiah 55 and verse, well, it starts at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, if you think that the wicked forsaking his way is talking about somebody way out there that is just doing really bad stuff, I want to remind you that Isaiah 53 says, we have turned everyone to his own way.
Yes.
And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity. Just doing your own way today. Even trying to do right, but only in your own way. I've known children that believed in rules all right, but they also believed that they needed to be the ones to make the rules.
Yes.
And so that's the way we all have been. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord calls it wicked, and He calls it iniquity. And one scripture in Psalms says the wicked have gone astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. So we're conceived in sin, scripture says. We go astray as soon as we're born. And you might not think, well, I didn't really go astray, but we all went our own way.
Yes, that's right.
And He calls it going astray.
Yes.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And that's hard to sometimes determine. And I think, well, but I'm justified. Well, we just had an illustration of that in the testimony. I'm justified in this. But when it's our own way, and when it conflicts just minutely with God's way sometimes, when it's really not good, when I'm not really surrendered, but I'm just trying to shoulder through and just do this, and it's my way, we're astray.
Yes.
But the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and He said we have to forsake our way and our thoughts, verse 7 here, and let Him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. That sounds like some riches to me. That sounds like a source that's never ending, that is free. And there's so many, Lord help me, I want to share this blessedness with you today. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Here He gives the standard of His giving to us. And this is how He gives to us, in the same way that He gave His Son. And how was that? It said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely, freely? Our God is a God who gives abundantly and freely.
Yes.
And He's rich when you call upon Him. You see the picture that the scriptures are giving us here. You see, this is the way He wants us to think about Him. This is the way He wants us to approach Him in prayer. And how many times are we like the other? Oh man, what am I going to do to bring Him down or to get Him up? And here He's saying, I give freely. This is not hard. This is not too difficult, or this is not too far away from you. But it's right here in the word of your mouth. Lord, I just give up my way to you, and I'm asking you for your help that is rich and abundant for me. And I know you have it for me. What a wonderful way that we can approach the Lord. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now, when we've been out in the world and we have the mindset of the world and we're trying to come to Christ, so many times this is what trips us up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it tells us here that the spirit of the world does not comprehend how God is toward them. It tells 2 and verse 12. Now we have received, now after you've come to Him, He's going to give you a different thought about Himself. He said, now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the yes. things that are freely given to us of God. That's the difference in how the world looks at yes. God and how his children look at him. Is that I've come to know him as a wise and benevolent heavenly father. Not indulgent, not allowing me to run over him, no. But he is a father who comes and is always for me.
Yeah.
Okay, he's for me and against my enemies. He's for my best interest. When I oppose myself, when I go my way and have my way, did you know it's really against me? It's
yeah.
it's hard on me. It's putting things into my life that aren't good for me. I don't know how to pray for the things that I ought to pray for, but his spirit has to help me to understand what I need to pray for. And he also does this, helps us to understand the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, I mentioned that he doesn't want us constantly in the repenting stage, but if scripture says, if any man sin, he's let him come to Christ. Christ is the propitiation. He's the complete ransom and sacrifice and substitute for our sins. But he also wants us to come to him for grace to keep us. Is that possible? Is there a grace like that? I'm trying to decide which one I want here. Titus. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. There's also one in the first chapter of John I want to get. Titus chapter 3. And I've missed one in Ephesians 2. We'll pick that up in just a little bit. He speaks to us here to be gentle and meek to all people. Why? Because we were doing what we get so upset with them for doing. We've been doing that in our lives before he saved us. We were foolish, he said, and sometimes foolish, verse 3, Titus 3 and 3, disobedient. We were deceived. We were serving diverse lusts, passionate desires that led us astray, pleasures. We were living in malice and envy. We were hateful. We were hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us,
yes.
by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us, how? Abundantly.
Yes.
Now, he pardons abundantly. He also gives his spirit abundantly.
Yes.
Jesus told us, ask and you shall receive.
Yes.
You keep on asking. That's really what that means. It means a continual, not giving up, not being discouraged, but you keep on asking and you'll receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and it will be opened unto you. And he goes on to tell us there in Luke 11 that you have a heavenly Father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. And he'll give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask him. And Titus here, Paul says to us in his letter to Titus, that he gives abundantly. He sheds it on us abundantly. He doesn't just give just enough where you just have to stretch it and it's just a little tight for you. But he gives the Holy Spirit
yes.
abundantly. And I believe that's enough for us to be able to stand. His grace is not only a grace that forgives, but it is a grace that enables.
Yes.
It enables me to do what I could not do.
Yes, thank the Lord.
It is a strong grace, not a wimpy grace. Okay? It's not an indulgent grace where we're just spoiled children. We do whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this grace also requires us to surrender ourselves to him. To give up our ways. He abundantly pardons, but he also gives us a grace to do his will.
Yes.
I really believe that. Let's see.
2 Corinthians chapter 8. I love this one. Because I came to the Lord one time to the altar, and the Lord gave me this scripture because I just said to the person that I was praying with, I simply cannot love this person. Sorry, this is the way I feel. I don't like them. I don't think I could ever like them. And the Lord gave me this verse, 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. Here we are again. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
This picture is so wonderful to me. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That ye, always having, look at all of the alls in here.
Mm-hmm.
Always having, that's the second one, having all sufficiency in all things. Can't get away from, you can't throw anything at the Lord that he's going to say, sorry, I don't have grace for that. This is what he's saying here. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 11, being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. He wants us not just to eke out a meager existence spiritually, but to understand that he's lavish in his gifts to us, in his giving toward us. There's always more. And I was meditating on that in James, where it says, but he giveth, James 4:6, he giveth more grace. And I thought, grace? How can you give? I mean, grace is just grace. I mean, it's just all-encompassing. And then he just says he gives more. And he gives more. And I find that picture in 1 John. I mentioned that I was going to go there just a little bit. But 1 John gives us the picture of it in the scripture. John chapter 1 verse 16. Of his fullness, now talking about Jesus, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. That word for means, it means replacing grace. It's really the picture of a river. It's a picture of water flowing by, and then you've got more water coming behind that, and more. Rivers are awesome, aren't they? I mean, and you could also think about the sea. And there's a song that I've loved since I was a teenager that says, grace upon grace, like the waves on the shore, always enough, always more. Upon day, they never subside, and so the loving Father provides. Grace upon grace. Oh, I just thank the Lord for this picture here in this scripture. I've always loved a creek or a river that was flowing, and God in his goodness and his mercy gave us a place where we can see that from day to day, and where we live now. I just thank the Lord for my little creek. It's so wonderful. Love to look at it and hear it. Can hear it when you step outside most of the year round. I thank the Lord for that. Now think about the grace of healing. And there's a picture of that also in the scriptures. Malachi has this picture in verse 2. It doesn't say the word grace here, but it's all in it. But unto you that, Malachi 4 and 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. This word wings, really just talking about the sun and its rays, the rays of the sun. Kind of makes a little more sense here when you read this. Because I used to think, okay, a sun and wings. I was trying to put the picture together. But rays gives me a little more understanding. The healing rays of the sun. The sun is a picture of God's grace. It's because the influence of the sun is so powerful. And you can see that in a plant, how that it turns toward the sun. The sun is healing actually for the body. It manufactures vitamin D. And there's conditions of the body that get worse in the winter. Why? because we're not out in the sun. In the sun, God has put a great picture of the gospel and the grace of God. And he said that there in Psalms, that day into day it utters speech about the things of God, the spiritual things about God. And that's what we can see here. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I just thank the Lord for the wonderful rays of healing that come from the Lord, either emotionally or physically or spiritually. Just a powerful yet gentle influence that is strong, that actually changes and actually cures, and it replenishes and it revitalizes and it causes life. It's life-giving. Mm-hmm. This is the Lord to us.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And there's more where it came from. Yes. It's just there. Our earth turns away. Our side of the earth may turn away from the sun, but that doesn't mean the sun isn't there. Sun is always there. There may be clouds. Sun is always there. The rays of the sun, and this is spiritual that I'm talking to you about this morning. He's going to, you can trust in him and come to him for healing. I too have seen the Lord stop a cough. I had a baby to cough for over a month one time, and the Lord had directed us to go to California, and our baby was coughing, and I just gave it to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you want us to go, you're going to have to heal the baby. And the night before we were to leave, that baby never coughed again. So that, I know the Lord, he has healing for us. And it's a grace. It's a wonderful flowing river of all that we need, all that we can ask for, and more than we can imagine. He always does more. He always gives more blessings than what we ask for. How does the Lord give? Again in Malachi chapter 3. He said, you prove me, in verse 10.
Yes.
See if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing.
Yes.
This is how God gives. He doesn't give, oh, okay. I mean, oh, if you, since you troubled me. I mean, he doesn't give that way to us. Another place, I believe it's in Luke, where he talks about us giving and how it'll be given back to us.
Yes.
Where is that? Luke 12, is it? No, Luke 8. Luke 6, sorry. Where he says to give. How does the Lord give? This is a picture of how the Lord gives. When he tells us to give, in verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. You think he's talking about people giving that? I mean, he may move people to give this way too. This is talking about how the Lord gives. It'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together. I do that when I'm getting ice. You know, I want to get all the ice in the cup. And I just shake it and I put more ice in there. This is how the Lord gives. Shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. But I believe that not only will others give back to you, and it is reciprocal, because the freer you are with others, the more you feel that coming back. I know that's what that's talking about. But I believe that Jesus gives just this freely and just this lavishly to us. Let's see. Like there was another scripture I wanted to get from the New Testament. Well, okay, I can't think of that one, but I do want to go now to a picture that he gives us in the Psalms. Psalms 133. This is a picture of fellowship. And he borrows this from the way that the high priests were anointed. And he gives us this picture and says it's like the unity that brethren have. And I see the same picture here that, as we read, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down." I mean, you're thinking, it wasn't just a drop, but this is something that ran down. This is something that was lavish. This was something that was poured out until it ran. This is, and I find this, it is like fellowship in the Spirit. That's just, there's just, there's freedom.
Yes.
There's flowing.
Yes.
There's overwhelming joy, gratitude, love. When God gives us fellowship with each other, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, went down to the skirts of his garment. This is really flowing. But this is what the ointment is like. This is what fellowship is like. It's like the dew of Hermon and the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Now, both of those subjects, and I've brought this out before, but both of those things that he mentioned here are very pure substances. The ointment was not mixed with anything except with the specific ingredients that God told them to put in it. And they were not allowed to use it as personal perfume. They were not allowed to go put it on anyone off the street. It was for the high priest. It was for sacred service. That to me, that speaks a lot about this quality of fellowship that I spoke, where there's freedom, where there's flowing. That is, God puts that on His people. He puts that on hearts that are open toward Him and perfect in His sight, as far as a heart completely yielded unto Him. That fellowship is given to that. It's not just poured out where there are people that are unrighteous in their hearts and intentions and impure and full of iniquity and deceit and dishonesty. He doesn't pour that kind of liberty out on those. But His lavish outpouring of fellowship is conditional.
Yeah.
And the dew is distilled water, which is the purest of all liquids. There's a purity here and a lavishness that is in God. They meet, though, in the person of Jesus Christ. You can't say, well, since because He's so pure, then He's also rather chintzy and choosy. That's the picture is here, very pure, but very free, very copious, very rich. He's rich to all who call upon Him. Now, I'm thankful today of this. Let's see. Oh, I know where I was going. I want the one, and I think it's in Colossians. It talks about comfort. Not sure if I can find it. Okay, Colossians 2. This is Paul's prayer. He called it a great conflict. So I'm sure that he spent some time in prayer and in agony for these people at Laodicea, that their hearts, verse 2, might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. There's another place that talks about comfort, 2 Corinthians, I believe the first chapter, where he calls God the God of all comfort. I was thinking of that in this message. He comforts us. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Talks about the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our tribulation. that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And listen to this, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
Yes.
It's not just a comfort that a band-aid. When he comforts us, he comforts us. How does he comfort? One place he said, as a mother comforts her children, so will I comfort you. How do you mothers comfort your children? No. How do you fathers comfort your children? I believe he's given us a picture of any parent that really comforts a child. You take that child into your arms. Did you know that's how God comforts us? He comforts us. Another place it says, I will wipe all tears away. How do you wipe someone's tears away? With a pole and like tissue on the end of it? Just enough to touch you. No. When you wipe a child's tears away, you have them. You're close to them. This is God's comfort. It's abounding toward us. As your sufferings abound, his comfort abounds.
Yes.
You know what song I thought of then? There were just so many songs I thought of as the Lord was giving me this. It was so precious. The tears were just streaming down my face as I thought about forgiveness and the Holy Spirit and fellowship and comfort and healing. And I just was so blessed. But I thought about this song by a dear lady who was an invalid for many years, over 30 years. And she wrote several poems. This was a long time ago, but this one says, he giveth more grace. Annie Johnson Flint. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. So let's sing that. I think you can find it online, but that's a wonderful song. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials his multiply.
Lord. Thank the Lord this morning for that abundance of grace that the Lord has for all of us. If you don't know that song real well, the last part of that that we sang said, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. So when we get to that place that we say, I can't take anymore, I can't handle anymore, I can't do anymore, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm out, God's grace has just begun to work for us. And there is an endless supply. And the beautiful thing is, and we've heard this morning, is that the Lord desires to give us that grace. You don't have to fight Him for it this morning. So when we're feeling very needy and we're feeling at the end of our resources, you know, that's okay to feel that way. Because that's what enables us to be reliant upon the Lord. And that's the reason the Lord spoke to Paul and He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, and I'm adding to you in here for clarity, but my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When we're weak, that's when God's grace can work effectively. There's another scripture that came to my mind as Andrew was bringing the message this morning. It said that the disciples received not the grace of God. How? Remember? Said in vain. In other words, the grace was all there, and they let it work effectively.